getting a handle on it. And so if you can't do this, then you guys are going to have to figure out how you're going to get the money to keep funding that animal. The other reason is, my dealings with DNR, or not DNR, but Habitat over time, I think they would really benefit from a little broader perspective. Really, when we go in there, and it's been just in the last few years, if it didn't have fins, it didn't count. And it didn't matter what you were doing, if there was a fish in the way, that was it. And I think DNR might be able to put a little perspective that there is also a human habitat, and there's other habitats around here that we can trade off. Now, they need to work for the fish and talk to the fish, that's fine, but there's another part of the world that exists, and for their opinion was if it bothered fish, you didn't get the permit. And it took fights to get some of these permits we went there. Now, one early experience with Habitat was back in about 94 when we were logging our property in Burns Bay. We had a patch of trees that we wanted to get to that were in the buffer zone of the salmon stream. And so we went there with a habitat biologist and a DNR biologist. The habitat biologist was much more forgiving, and he gave us almost every tree we asked for, whereas that DNR biologist wasn't going to give us any. Now, maybe because the habitat biologist had the experience and knew what counted and what didn't. But, so, I don't really see where, you know, truly we didn't really permitting function over to DNR is going to just open the floodgates to do anything. In fact, it may make it even more difficult because of their basic inexperience. Those are the two prime reasons.
All right, well, thank you very much. Appreciate your input and your patience. Okay, we have two people left in the Anchorage, Mark Fink. Mark, you still there?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mark had left and asked me to give a spot to me. So with your permission, I'll be very quick.
Who's this?
This is I'm Chip Dennerline. I'm classifying today the 30-year last and 25 years of natural resources, more time in DNR than ADF&G, more time outside government than in. I've dealt with Habitat Division over 25 years as an executive manager of the city, permitter for the oil and gas company, and a manager of commercial fishing company. I just wanted to address this to be brief. I would not ask you to trust me, but I would like to let set the record straight. I'll be happy to answer any questions and provide any documentation for what I'm going to say. This is based on fiction.
Can you say it in about a minute and a half? You used up 30 seconds, your introduction.
Legal point, the commissioner will no longer have any clear authority over salmon and resident fish habitat. The second point of good science, habitat permissions will be separated by agency and physically from Fish and Wildlife Biologist colleagues and from ongoing science and research. There'll be fewer permitting staff to get in the field and solve problems. Streamlining, I haven't been mentioned, the federal agency permitters will now consult by law Fish and Wildlife Service Coordination Act with ADF&G biologists, not with DNR staff. And every gavel after moving project in the governor's state of the state speech was heavily federally funded and subject to firm federal permit. The state uses an example to have numerous apple and orange differences from Alaska, from agency statutes pertaining to deference to requirements for Fish and Wildlife Department to detailed water practices and water law for greatly reduced resources. The project uses examples of blatantly false. Fall Creek was used as an example. If the proposed hydrocarbon inside the boundaries of the national park in congressionally designated wilderness, I doubt Habitat's concern about fish passage in the middle region of the project is holding it up and subject to an EIS. It was subject to a bill in then Senator Murkowski's committee, perhaps you forgot. Process wise, the governor's transition team never once met with ADF&G directors. Neither the division director nor the deputy director of Habitat was ever contacted by any member of the transition team, including the Habitat committee members. However, they still did not recommend this transfer. Finally, efficiency. There's been absolutely no discussion of options. that would improve efficiency, the Matson Permit Center upgrading information technology systems, interdisciplinary training teams with DNR, while also maintaining effectiveness, the check and balance that the legislature adopted in 59 and confirmed again as recently as 1988.
Mr. Dennerlein?
In closing, the governor fired the employees, the real people. The employees got the Forest Service to improve culvert design and get stream crossings reviewed by the state in the Tongass. The person who sits on the Kenai River Managing Board.
Mr. Dennerlein?
Working on site in the Glen.
Mr. Dennerlein?
In closing.
Thank you.
Closing with all the issues, this is a radical move. It is a reckless process and it is based on falsehood. Thank you.
I appreciate if you would submit your remarks in writing, and used up more than 2 minutes of Mr. Fink's time. Steve Albert, you aren't going to submit, yield your time to Mr. Dennerlein, are you?
No.
Okay. You can talk.
My name is Steve Albert. I live in Eagle River, Alaska. I'm an employee of the Department of Fish and Game. I'm speaking for myself. Executive Order Number 107 is a core public policy. I respect the state constitution and the ability of the governor to reorganize the executive branch. However, the implications of this reorganization have far-reaching effects well beyond the Habitat and Restoration Division. Please focus your attention on text in Section 45 of EO 107. It includes language that states that ADF&G employees and peace officer status delegated before June 23, 1983 will continue to accrue service credits as a peace officer under AS 3935 after the transfer, as long as the employee remains in a position described in this subsection in the Department of Natural Resources. Therefore, if I or other colleagues choose to apply for a position in DNR that could benefit the state of Alaska if selected as the most qualified candidate, then I would be forced to endure financial repercussions in terms of my retirement status. The governor has no right to impose financial consequences and force me to stay in one position for the rest of my working life. I cannot apply for another position in DNR, nor can I return to fish and game in my professional capacity as a biologist without suffering financial consequences. The executive order provision of the Constitution was included to allow the governor to reorganize, but not to punish me and others like me for simply doing the job I was asked and expected to do by the public. I have been a dedicated biologist for the Department of Fish and Game for over 21 years. No matter how bad things were in terms of funding or workload, I got up every morning looking forward to work. I and many others like me have risked our lives radio tracking and capturing brown bears, flying a few feet over the waves in the Gulf of Alaska to get to a logging camp to write a field permit for a culvert that failed. We flew through snowstorms and on and on and on. We and the public for whom we work deserve more than to be locked into these positions for the rest of our professional careers. Last Friday, ADF&G and ADNR held a joint press conference. ADF&G Commissioner Duffy likes to say that there are two sides to any particular story. Allow me to point out the other side of the story. Throughout this whole transfer exercise, Mr. Tom Irwin, the DNR Commissioner, has seen tons of praise on how the permitting process to his previous company was handled in the Fairbanks office, where Habitat was a separate entity. As an example, he mentioned a water reservoir project for which his company needed a permit. He stated that he got his permit in a timely manner, and the environment, lo and behold, was protected and or enhanced. As a reminder to this committee, H&R was a separate entity, and the system worked. The system as it is right now works. It works for the public to whom we are all responsible for the fish and wildlife resources they expect to be there for their use and enjoyment, and for more than 99.5% of all development projects proposed in this state each year. I am not against development. I live in a house made of wood. I drive a car that requires gas. I heat my house with gas. but I appeal to you to recognize that development at any cost over other societal values without recognizing the concept of sustainability and multiple use is wrong and against the vision of the writers of the Alaska Constitution. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this issue.
You're welcome. Yeah, Senator Ellison.
Just a comment, Mr. Chair, because I suspect the people on the teleconference and people in this room are going to rush out as soon as everything is done. And I just want to thank everybody that has stayed to testify, and I want to thank you for staying and hearing the testimony, because it is a very difficult thing to walk away from a hearing and ask people to come back. So I thank both you, and I thank the people that have stayed to testify.
Well, thank you, sir, for your acknowledgement.
Senator and Representative, just one note. There's about 15 people in Anchorage who have dutifully waited 3.5 hours to sign up to speak, who by some error are not on your list.
Well, we cut off. If they came late, they didn't get the opportunity to...
Yes, sir. None of these people came late. There was an error in sending the information to you.
If the Legislative Information Office verifies that, I will... I'll entertain it. We have Catherine Paul here in Juneau.
Senator, yes, this is an employee of the legislature.
Is your name Catherine Paul?
Yes.
These people were here early before the cutoff made by you, so they have been sitting here in the room.
And who is your name Catherine Paul?
Yes.
I'm not talking. I'm talking to the guy in the speak. I have Catherine Paul up, please. Cool. Catherine? Are you going to testify?
Yeah, brought props. This is a fish and game hat. I'm a fish and game habitat biologist, and I'm speaking for myself, not for the agency. Thanks very much for holding this hearing. It's a very important issue, and I think it's an issue where the information that you've been working with hasn't been very good, and I look forward to seeing better information come into this process over the next few days. I brought the prop, this is the winter hat, winter version, to point out the seal for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which are animals on it. Same with my business card with animals on it. When I got the new job and was giving contact information to my relatives, they were really excited to see a business card with animals on it, and so was I. The seal for Department of Natural Resources does not have caribou, salmon, trumpeter swans on the seal. That's an indication of a very different mission, a very different focus that agency has and has had throughout its establishment and throughout its management of natural resources. The mission of the agency that I work for is clear. Habitat protection is part of the overall mission of that agency. The word protection remains in the statutory responsibility for this agency, despite the proposed moving of the despite the executive order which proposes moving Habitat Division over. There is still that responsibility for protection in the statutory authority of fish and game. So I guess my question for all of you is, how can this habitat protection mandate for fish and game be met through having habitat permitting and project review happen at DNR? I would like to sort of confirm what's been said about inaccurate information being part of this process. I am one of the project reviewers that's been targeted by repeated accusations in the press by the governor and others. We're doing my job, doing a good job of it, doing it under direction from the whole supervisory line, and as part of a larger team of sport fish and commercial fisheries and wildlife division. It's really quite a shocking thing to wake up in the morning and hear yourself attacked on the state press, the state media, by the state's leader, for doing your job and doing it correctly. I wrote a memo to put, go on record for these corrections, to the governor's information. And my information was compiled with others from around the state and forwarded up the chain to the director, and from there presumably to the commissioner, presumably to the governor. But we have not heard anything. There's been no apology. There's been no acknowledgement that this information was incorrect. And instead, there have been continued accusations, more of them inaccurate. You could even say defamatory. And there's just a continuing resting of the whole case for making this move on all of this erroneous information. It's unbelievable, especially to see an agency be scapegoated like this in an era when our country is working against repressive regimes, which start by abusing information, controlling information flow, and then slipping into injustice. I think that it's really important for all of you to look at this as, in a way, an environmental justice question, and also as a question of respect for information.
Catherine, with all due respect, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up.
Okay, I'll do that.
I've been pretty liberal at the time.
There are several ways in which it can be shown that these changes will lead to a reduction in the substance of habitat protection, not just a change in process. And in light of the information that you've heard about all these projects that was incorrect, the information that you've given also about substance versus process is also incorrect, and that needs to be looked at very carefully. And it needs to be looked at in concert with the people that actually do this work and know how these things work. You've heard earlier that this transition was proposed without any contact with the people that do the work, and it's really clear to us who do it that basically there's very little understanding of how this habitat protection process works. We can help you with that. I would also like to say that it will serve no one to perpetuate incorrect information regarding the work of the state's habitat biologists or the consequences of changing that work. That would be a violation of public trust concerning public resources.
Thank you very much. If you have additional comments, we'd be happy to take them in writing. We have a brief of these. All right. There has been a goof up in the printing of the sign-up list. I said I was going to close the meeting at 7 o'clock. It's now 7:12. Senator Elson had guests showing up at his house at 5:30. Other people have left, but we have one, Jeff Parker, Ellen Simpson, Celia Varan, Kevin Gilland, Matthew LaCroix, Larry Hull, Jen Walter, Cindy Anderson, Daniel Sharp, and Anchorage. Is there anybody? What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you all a minute, and if you have written testimony or would like to add something, I'd like to point out there is two more hearings. There's a state affairs hearing and on the House side, and there's a fisheries hearing on the House side. Those hearings, state affairs, will be Tuesday, March 11th at 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday, March 12th at 6:30. And the House Special Committee on Fisheries will hear Tuesday, March 18th at 7 p.m. So if you didn't get your 2 cents in here, you can get a couple cents in there. So hearing that, or with that, well, let's go to Jeff Parker. Oh, there's also a few people here in Juneau that signed the wrong list. We have we had two lists out there, and they signed the wrong one. And
this is Anchorage, and Mr. Parker has left.
Okay.
Ellen Simpson has.
All right, Ellen, can you be very brief and associate your remarks with somebody else, or?
My name is Ellen Simpson, and I'm here today representing myself. I've lived in Alaska for 20 years, and I currently work for Fish and Game. But I came here from Washington State to work as a fish biologist because I wanted to spend my career with wild salmon and not fish raised in a hatchery because the habitat that they depended on was gone. And now it looks like the same thing is going to happen if Governor Murkowski's executive order is allowed to become law. Fish habitat is lost at one project at a time, and without productive salmon habitat, salmon returns can never be sustainable, no matter how good our management policies are. I think Commissioner Rue, or ex-Commissioner Rue, summed it up pretty well as to what the effects would be if EO 107 went into effect. But I'm especially concerned because the administration has not adequately justified such a major change in how we do business in this state. The governor says his goal is to streamline permitting and make it more efficient along the lines of the large mine project. He believes that moving habitat to habitat permitting to DNR will accomplish that. And we heard today, earlier, at the beginning of this hearing, from Tom Irwin, the new commissioner of DNR. And he's got a lot of experience in the large project concept. He, in both his overview to the House Resources Committee on February 20th, and in a press conference last Friday, he explained the large mine project concept. And he said that Fort Knox and the habitat biologists at Fish and Game worked together to modify the project to both benefit the company and fish habitat. He said that they got together and each brought to the table what they wanted, what they could do, and what they couldn't do. And he had nothing but praise for the way the process works. You know, this sounds like an endorsement for the current process, not a justification for changing it. Of the 2,000 permits Fish and Game issues each year, only a few are for large projects. Over 80% require only consultation within the various divisions of Fish and Game. These permits are very important to landowners and small developers who depend on Fish and Game expertise to help them construct projects that are fish-friendly and still get the job done. They are not off the shelf. Most are unique.
Thank you, Alan. That's a really long minute. Can you summarize, please?
Yeah, and now Acting Commissioner Duffy and Commissioner Irwin actually need to craft a memorandum of understanding so that the biologists at DNR, that will be at DNR, will know how to communicate and work with the remaining Fish and Game biologists that were once just down the hall. And you know, this just doesn't seem like streamlining to me. I urge you to disapprove EO 107.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to keep going here if people don't abuse the time limit. I really apologize, but we're all tired, all of us that are left, all two of us, plus staff. And so, brevity is the word here. So, Celia?
Okay, Senator Ogden and Representative Keaton. My name is Celia Rosen. I'm the librarian for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. But I'm speaking for myself today. I've had this job for 15 years, and the position is funded by Habitat Division. On a personal note, after working for 15 years with largely the same crew of biologists during this time period, many of whom were slated to go to the Department of Natural Resources, I can tell you that they take sound science very seriously. They keep the library busy with their research requests, and they are all competent professionals who put in an incredible number of hours, have risked their life and limbs flying around the state doing field work. They're probably putting more non-pay hours than anyone in state government, and now I'm in front of them. What's significant to me is the loss of legal continuity. The staff of CEO is proposing to transfer to DNR Title 41 far into the state of the Fishways Act, the current 1605-840, which prohibits dams and obstructions in the community instead of fish. Boarding grounds have been in continuous existence since 1889. First is the federal statute, then a territorial statute, and adopted in statehood as well. In 1919, the first Enagement Fish Act, requiring a permit for projects to accept Enagement streams, was enacted. This was the precursor to the present day 1605-870. These statutes have always been under the jurisdiction of a fishery agency. During the early days under the Department of Commerce Bureau of Fisheries, during territorial days under Territorial Fish Commission, and after statehood under the Department of Fish and Game. The proposed move to DNR is disturbing at a number of levels. But this loss of legal continuity is a change in public policy that makes little sense. Why should the collective wisdom of generations of lawmakers be thrown out by a political whim under the guise of reorganization? Now, as I explained about what happened in the Pacific Northwest fisheries, but I won't do that, so I'm sure you're well acquainted with that.
Can you summarize, please?
Yeah, the difference between Alaska and other states is that Alaska is professionally applying habitat standards
Thank you, Celia. Okay, we have Jerry McCune here, and Janelle's been sitting in the audience the whole time. Shame on you for signing up the wrong list, sir. You ought to know better. You're down here all the time. No, that's all right. It can happen to the best of us. I'm sorry, I'm late.
I should know better, Mr. Chairman. I should look at the top there.
That's all right.
Thanks a lot for sticking with us and listening to everybody here tonight. It's been a long night. I represent the United Fishermen of Alaska. My name is Jerry McCune. Protection of fishery habitat is the utmost important to United Fishermen of Alaska. Clearly, our industry's sustainability depends on it. We have spent the last year and a half trying to revitalize the salmon industry, and a key opponent of that work has been examination of ways to reduce costs. Streamlining of permitting is certainly an element of that. We are working on streamlining of direct marketing permitting so fishermen don't have to deal out four different agencies in order to do business. We see EO 107 as a similar move, one intended to better serve natural resource users to reduce costs and move towards efficiency. As long as state and regulatory protections remain under the Department of DNR permitting as they currently exist under fishing game, UFA does not believe EO 07 will cause any harm to fisheries. We will monitor the new process and certainly voice our concerns if and when they occur. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. I hope one of the first places you come is to me if you voice any of those concerns, if this happens. So.
Yes, sir.
And I will look into it very seriously. Okay, Roger Painter. Thank you for your patience tonight and for being brief. Thank you in advance for that.
Thank you for your patience. For the record, my name is Roger Painter, and I signed the wrong list because I was following Jerry's lead.
Blame it on the lobbyist, huh?
Yeah. I'd like to share with you a comment that a director of commercial fisheries made to me one time, which was, if commercial fishermen had to go through the same process of review that we did with the Habitat Division, that he wouldn't have a job because there wouldn't be any commercial fisheries. Okay. I'm here representing the Alaskan Shellfish Growers Association, and we've had long-standing disputes with the Habitat Division, many problems, and I take you back to a comment that Mr. Hanna made earlier about how, and Commissioner Rue as well, how the statutes are very broadly written, and it leaves a lot of room for just personal interpretation. And the problems we ran into was that, as Mr. Hanna said, there were no review standards. And I would request that this committee, Senator Ogun, hold an oversight hearing next year to just see how this process has been carried out. I would hope that DNR and the governor live up to what they say, but as we saw earlier in trying to question Commissioner Irwin, there sure isn't a lot of hard, solid information out there, so I would ask that you come back and take another look at it next year, next session, and see how things have been going. Thank you.
That's an excellent idea, and I'll commit to doing that, and I also will commit to being out in the field this year looking at it myself.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, last but not least, in Juneau, Patricia Harris. Patricia Harris still here? Going once? Going twice? Okay, we got Kevin Gilland.
I'm here.
Go ahead, Kevin.
My name is Kevin Gilland. I'm the area habitat biologist for the Mattsu Borough, Prince William Sound, and the Copper River Basin. I'm not testifying on behalf of the department. I've been involved in three of the projects that have been used to demonstrate why the Department of Fish and Game's responsibility to protect fish and wildlife should be moved to DNR. And make no mistake about it, moving the department's permitting responsibility and authority to DNR will eliminate the Department of Fish and Game's ability to protect fish and game. The three projects I want to talk about are real projects but the information presented to the press and the public is not. The projects are the Coke Cutoff Highway Upgrade, the Glen Park Interchange, and the Power Creek Hydroelectric Project in Cordova. I have written comments, so I'm just going to wing it from here. On the Coke Cutoff Project, it was alleged that we first provided comments that said we had no objection. That's true. The part that's been left out is the fact that DNR or DOT changed the project to include 24 acres of wetland fill adjacent to the Copper River and the diversion of a clear channel Copper River tributary. It was 1 year later when we received the information that those two aspects were part of the project. We did change our comment. It was the right thing to do. We asked them to provide plans for the stream diversion and to evaluate the impact of the wetland fill. The second project was the Glen Park Highway. The governor said that the consistency finding was issued on March 2001, and it took 16 months to get a fish habitat permit. That's simply incorrect. The first meetings on the project took place in June of 2001. The consistency finding was issued in March of 2002. The consistency finding required that the contractor provide plans and specifications to the Department of Fish and Game 30 days before they began construction. We couldn't issue permits when the consistency finding was done because the plans for the project weren't complete. We worked with the contractor to eliminate one of the bridges over Spring Creek. We worked with the contractor to get a concrete wall reduced to a small area around the cove. We saved over $1 million on that project, and you can talk to Kiwa Pacific in Anchorage, and they'll tell you that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Could you limit your testimony to the executive order? You're over your time, and
The other one was the rock that's been showing washed in Cordova. We didn't require the contractor to wash rock. I've got photographs of the stream diversion, and I've got copies of some notes on those projects, and I'll submit all of that to you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I do urge you to overturn the executive order.
Oh, thanks for that comment. Matthew LaCroix.
I'm going to yield my minute.
You'll yield your minute to who? I'm not yielding any minutes to anybody anymore. I got set up once. Larry Howell.
Chairman Hogan, Larry Howell, last for this
time. Thank
you very much. I'll just be very brief, but I'll submit the full text in writing, placed by tomorrow morning. First of all, we are in support of Executive Order 107. We'd like to see it pass through. We find that there's been no demonstration of scientific evidence or otherwise, that nothing exists that says that a reorganization, a streamlining of the government process is going to somehow degrade or compromise the Alaskan environment. And without conclude, we support Executive Order 107, and we'll submit something by tomorrow morning to Linda.
Thank you. And sorry, Larry, for mispronouncing your last name. I know better.
All right, we'll get the fact machine.
I'm tired. And thanks for being brief. Okay, Jeannie Walter.
Thank you, and I appreciate your time for staying so late. As you can tell, it's a very controversial issue, and many people would like to discuss this Executive Order 107. For the record, my name is Jeannie Walter. I'm an Alaskan resident and registered voter. I have a background through the Department of Interior. I've worked for the state of Alaska. I've also worked for universities and industry, in particular the paper industry. I view this transfer as a paramount issue in the state law of Fish and Wildlife Resources. The original intent of EO 107 as stated was to streamline the permitting process. Under the present EO 107, this will not be possible for the following reasons. Fish and Game Habitat Restoration Division staff process 2,000 permits per year, averaging 14 days turnaround time. This has been questioned previously, but it may be verified by permit tracking system at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And I definitely suggest that all interested committee members obtain this information. Out of those 2,000 permits, only 0.5% were denied. And that's from 2002. ADNR water permits review issuance take much longer, and presently backlog is expected to be reviewed by 2007. Another reason is Commissioner Irwin and Acting Commissioner Duffy released figures that 22 Habitat Division staff are to be laid off, and 12 currently vacant positions will be eliminated. This begs the question that if a violation occurs in the bush or in the woods and nobody's around to see it, did it actually happen? A lot of people would argue that it was, that it does, but nobody will be there to verify that fact. Only 36 Habitat employees will be transferred to DNR. The remaining 38 positions will be spread out among three different divisions and EVO's office. Dismantling the Habitat division will decrease the ability of biologists to receive consultative information from adjacent fishing game divisions and field biologists. Decreasing their fishing game staff by 30%, and that's what we're talking about here, a 30% decrease in the available jobs presently at fishing game Habitat division. This will decrease site inspection, monitoring, restoration efforts, and mitigation suggestions, and will slow the permitting process down or create a process which will force DNR to rubber stamp permit issues. These reviews and the biologist's expertise save permittees money from costly legal fines, both federal and state. Biologist input in the initial phases of the project often saves expensive litigation and time delays. If you do not disprove EO 107, state will lose a dedicated habitat staff, including oil and gas experts, erosion control specialists, cartographers, biologists, ichthyologists, fish passage specialists, etc. In fact, the biologist of Region 2 worked 1.5 years of unpaid overtime in 2002.
Can you wrap it up, Jeannie, please?
I definitely will. The Anwar development vote is presently very close in our nation's capital. Many members have been swayed to vote in favor of Anwar development due to the success and professional integrity of the Department of Fish and Game Habitat and Restoration Division's permitting responsiveness. Is it worth risking Anwar development under a new unquestionable permitting section? I will assure you many people will think it is not, and that the Habitat and Restoration Division should stay where it belongs in the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Please bring to the floor a vote and disapprove Executive Order 107. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, and thank you for your patience tonight. Okay, there's two people left, and then I'm going to adjourn the meeting. It's Cindy Anderson and Daniel Sharp. Cindy?
Hi, my name is Cindy Anderson, and I, like Steve Albert, am on a 20-year retirement, and I'm slated to be moved over to DNR, and I will be economically penalized because after 20 years of managing fisheries for a division of commercial fisheries, I moved over to Habitat to try and end my career in a more positive manner, helping manage resource development in the state of Alaska. I manage herring and salmon fisheries from the Kuskokwim area to the north line of Vegas and Bristol Bay. I've spent hundreds of hours in airplanes and helicopters hunting fish to ensure that there are more than enough fish to provide for all users and to ensure that there will always be new generations of salmon for the future generations of Alaska. I don't have a problem with development. I support development in a responsible manner. Dedicated staff in the Habitat division have worked many unpaid, uncompensated hours to protect fish habitat. In the past year, more than 2,000 hours were given freely by Region 2 staff permitters to meet the standards necessary to review permit requests. Every Alaskan, young or old, sport fisher, subsistence user, commercial fisherman, or tourist who values salmon as a resource needs to know that the Department of Fish and Game Habitat division belongs at Fish and Game. Every Alaskan needs to be aware that the Department of Fish and Game biologists will no longer be able to protect the fish and wildlife habitat when Habitat Division is being disbanded under this current administration. If a considerable number of habitat biologists have been laid off and the balance moved to DNR, and those who are experienced forced to leave, how can we possibly be protecting the resources for the state of Alaska and all the resource users? Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Cindy, for your patience. Last but not least, Daniel Sharp.
I appreciate the not least. My name is Daniel Sharp. I'm a 30-year resident of Alaska and have been employed as a biologist at the Department of Fish and Game since 82. Since September of 2002, I've been employed as a habitat biologist under the governor's planned reorganization. My current position and duties with Habitat Division are slated to remain within the Department of Fish and Game. The organizational structure employed by the Department of Fish and Game has long depended upon the concept of relying upon area biologists. These are individuals whose experience and tenure in an area allow them to speak knowledgeably about the fish or wildlife resources for which they hold responsibility. As a 12-year resident of Cordova, I had the unique pleasure of serving as a commercial fisheries area management biologist for Crestwood Bound from 1995 to 98, and as the Copper River area management biologist from 1999 to 2001. I've heard a number of representatives of commercial fishing organizations voice their support. committee asks them at their next opportunity, perhaps rhetorically, if this was such a fine idea, would they have supported it had Governor Noel proposed it during his last 6 months of his administration? Now, the Powder Creek Hydroelectric Project in Cordova is one that has been repeatedly cited as an example of Habitat Division's interfering with legitimate development projects. Anyone who has seen Elman Falls on Powder Creek can attest to the hydraulic energy released there, and for a town heavily reliant on diesel-generated power, the option of a less expensive, cleaner, and stable source of hydroelectric power was widely supported by both industry, local residents, and by myself. Habitat Biologists connected with this project were recently described as refusing to be reasonable on a project that was set deep way up in the hills where there are no fish. I'd like to clarify that description just a bit. In actuality, just a few hundred yards downstream from Elman Falls, which is a natural barrier to upstream salmon migration, thousands of sockeye salmon, silver salmon, and pink salmon spawn each year. Brown bear, black bear, trumpeter swans, and other waterfowl live in the area year-round. Powder Creek drains into Eyak Lake, the source of the city of Cordova's drinking water. And Eyak Lake supports a significant return of tens of thousands of early-time sockeye salmon. These are the same early fish that Copper River commercial fishermen receive their highest price per pound for each season. Now, sockeye salmon returning this drainage have paid a substantial dividend to the residents of Cordova for hundreds of years and have likely sustained generations of native Eyak people for thousands. If any area deserves due diligence from a habitat protection standpoint, Powder Creek and the Eyak Lake certainly qualify. Now, I cannot attest directly as to whether unreasonable due diligence was exercised by the habitat biologists assigned to this project. However, I can attest that, as a local area biologist and resident of Cordova at the time, I received numerous phone calls and in-person complaints and occasional anonymous tips about unreported small and large fuel spills, unchecked erosion of the spawning streams, and repeated illegal stream crossings with heavy equipment at the work site. It quickly became evident by the contractor's behavior that any permit stipulations and timing restrictions designed to protect spawning habitat and wildlife would only be followed if the habitat biologist was on site to enforce it. I believe the laws and regulations designed to protect our common property resources deserve a great deal more respect than they were given during the construction phase of this project. I find it most unfortunate that this particular project has been heralded by the administration as a prime example showing unreasonable interference by habitat biologists working for ADFG. My experience, however ancillary, was that this project needed almost constant department oversight if one was to receive any cooperation from the contractor. I feel badly that the governor's office has been so ill served by those seeming to pass on misinformation about the significant importance of Powder Creek to the people of Cordova, the conduct of the contractor, and about the work the Habitat Division has performed in attempting to provide a minimal amount of protection this area deserves. Thank you, Chairman Ogan, committee member, for your service and patience. I urge your thorough exploration of the issues regarding this proposed transfer. My belief is that the long-term interests of the people and resources of the state will be best served by maintaining the current separation of authorities between resource protection and resource development agencies. I believe the bureaucratic efficiencies planned for will be realized at the expense of fish and wildlife resources of the state. Please co-sponsor and support the joint resolution for Cynthia 107. Thank you very much for your time.
And thank you all. And if anybody has comments they'd like to get to us to put in the record, we'd be more than happy to do that. Just for the record, we have heard from 62 people tonight, plus the departments. I think it's been, you've all done a great job, and I appreciate your patience. And I apologize for the misunderstanding about who signed up. I thought we were done, and I wasn't trying to cut anybody off. So having said that, we're not going to be taking any action on the issue tonight, because I've lost my quorum. So with that, we will gavel out. Good night.